This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hello?
It's the sound of victory, my friends.
Mom?
Mom?
Dad?
Where am I?
Are you there?
I'm hungry.
Are you there? Me, it's God, Margaret.
This is episode number 49 of Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Yeah, and as we record it right now, it's like Easter tomorrow, man.
Yeah, this one goes out to Jesus.
Jesus!
Jesus!
What up, dude?
And chocolate bunnies. You know what my favorite part of the year is? Cadbury cream eggs.
Oh, dude. Man.
Okay, so...
You know?
I was having a conversation about those with my roommate the other day. We were talking about how every year, I think I see those things and go, oh, yeah, Cadbury cream eggs. I'm so stoked about this. And then I buy one, and I bite into it, and I go, oh, yeah, I really don't effing like
these
things
that much.
They're
so good. I can't have them around the house, dude, because I'll just, like... eat like 50 of them. I can't have them around.
Dude, I think
they're okay.
I already got my yearly reminder egg, so I'm good to go.
But Word. You know what I think are really nasty? Those yellow bunnies.
Oh, peeps?
Yeah, peeps. Oh yeah, you know the bunnies, but the little ducks, peeps. Oh, shit. They just taste like
and they never rot ever. They never rot. They just turn into rocks.
Peeps and circus peanuts it are
makes
the
me,
worst.
What, it makes me wonder what
candies.
They do in your ass.
Oh, they just made chocolate ones.
As
now.
You poop them out, they just like turn into cement.
Oh, I was pink thinking about cement. Someone forcing a peep in an ass.
Not in that way. I mean, out that way. Out that way. Well,
cheers.
Anyway,
yeah.
Yeah. So
take
cheers.
A shot.
Hey, you know, yeah. Here, this goes out to the holidays. So.
Woo!
Episode number 49. Here we go.
That cheap whiskey.
You ever hear somebody else take a shot and gag on it, and then it makes you gag?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What you just did to me.
Nice.
Hearing you do that was the nastiest Last week we were talking about spilling beer on the board. You can't fucking throw up on the board either.
Yeah.
Alright, I
sounded like I was S and a D.
That's Kevin, S and a D.
What's up?
That's Ryan the Beard.
Yo, yo.
From
and
the
we're
window
back. Alright, cool.
To the wow.
So you guys have a good week this week.
Yeah, man. Of course, I saw one of my favorite bands, Pallbearer.
Oh, yeah, that show was awesome
yeah.
At the gates. Pallbearer.
Converge.
Valenfire Converge. Dude, the guy from
and
Valenfire broke his leg almost.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
We were standing in the back of the bar because I watched the first few songs, kind of checked out the vibe. Wasn't my favorite thing, so I kind of went back to the thing to get some water because I knew I was going to have a bunch of drinks later. And we're just sitting around talking in a circle, and it's one of those things where you kind of just slowly realize the music isn't on anymore. And then you look over and realize the band was never like, okay, good night. And like walked, they just walked off.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Stage was empty. Everybody's kind of looking around. Finally, somebody comes up on stage, goes, sorry, so-and-so cannot walk. So.
Uh-oh.
Valenfire's done.
Just got real.
It's one of those things where when you're the opening band on a big touring package like that, on a stage like the Showbox, you don't have very much room to walk around because the back line, there's so much gear there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you might not be used to having that little of a space. I wonder if he just fucking ate it. and stepped off the stage.
Dude,
he just fell off the that's a pretty tall fall off that showbox.
You ever have any injuries like post mid set? See anything gnarly?
No, I ripped my pants open.
You set your amp on fire.
Yeah, I set my amp on fire.
Tell that story.
I was at, we were playing a show. It was our first show back in Missoula in, years. And my bass rig caught on fire. And, I mean, there was, a foot of flame coming out the center of the
Hell
speaker.
Yeah.
I was playing this
f***ing metal
410, 115. And so, you know, I killed everything and went and, was like, oh God, you know, what do I do? So I unplugged the thing.
What have I done?
I grabbed a beer from my buddy Pete that I later learned he had just grabbed and sloosh it on the speaker. And a friend of mine who's a fellow audio nerd ran up with a fire extinguisher and kind of gave me a look that clearly said, dude, I really don't want to do this, while I was gesturing with a look on my face saying, dude, it's on fucking fire.
Don't hit my amp. But don't hit the head.
Just don't hit
the head. Just hit the cab.
Yeah.
Put the fire out.
Yeah, so that happened. But
that
my buddy Eric did see what happened to the guy from Valenfire. He said that I was back, I don't know what I was doing. I was not watching.
Yeah, you were with me, yeah. We were just kind of standing around drinking and hanging out.
Yeah, I went and sat back by my buddy Eric, and he just goes, he's like, dude, that guy just walked clean off the stage. Just right off the edge.
There's no recovering from that.
Yeah.
Because whatever you do, you stick your arm out, you're going to break it. You land on your head, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
You land on your leg, you're going to fucking snap your knee or whatever he did.
Yeah, you're just
down.
It's like, if you are at the point where you can't stand on it, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, I did that once at a show in Kelowna. Where is that? I think it's still British Columbia.
Yeah, yeah.
And I fucked up my ankle super bad. It was the day before I started at the Daily Grill, so I was walking around there with Sean being a
snap.
Bitch. While my ankle was literally black and blue up to, my shin.
So how long did it take for your leg to heal, man?
It took, because now then I had to walk on it every day. It took, 2 months.
Mm.
And it's still not really right. So it was one of those things where you're doing, I was we were jumping around and I landed on my ankle sideways.
Ooh.
So I'm lucky I didn't just fucking break it. I thought I did. As soon as it happened, I was just yep, there it is. But then, I just put a bag of corn on it, frozen corn, and I was fine. With a K.
Interesting.
I was a freak on a leash.
So
took some corn albums, put them in the freezer for a little bit.
Put some corn on it.
At least you got some use out of them.
All's well that ends well.
I guess it ended well.
Kevin broke his fucking arm jumping off a stage one time.
Yeah, that was right. It was at Terror. And it was
even want to think about it.
Was Terror,
Jesus.
Shattered Realm.
Ugh.
My Realm was certainly shattered. The Promise and
Where were you for Shattered
Born
Realm?
From Pain. I was at the concert. I was actually in the hospital for Shattered Realm. And Terror was playing it was Studio 7. Yeah, it was Studio 7. I think it was 2004 or 5. Probably 5. And it was the first time I ever seen Terror, so I was super amped. I was like, yeah, Terror, I love this band. And I did not have glasses or contacts on at the time. I took my glasses off because I wanted to mosh, bro. And you know how Studio 7, I mean, there were a lot of people there, but it's pretty spread out, and if there's not enough people to catch you, you're kind of doomed.
You're going to hit the deck.
And I wasn't looking, and my contacts and glasses were off. So I just fucking stage dived onto cement. Arm first, I had kind of taught myself while skateboarding to catch myself,
right?
And
you got to learn how to fall.
It was f***ed, man. I just went arm first, smashed that shit, and I went straight to the emergency room. And I was pretty young, so my mom's insurance covered it. But she was so pissed.
Yeah, I bet.
She was like, "You f***ing moron."
She's like, "You're old enough to know better, Kevin.
Idiot,
Kevin.
Kevin." So. Good times. Guys, I leveled up this week.
Yeah?
I got an automatic toothbrush.
No
I care.
Dude.
Yeah, it
so
feels great.
Your teeth are being brushed for you.
Exactly.
All
it's
you have
wonderful.
To do is hold it.
Yeah, it's great. And it gives you the exact timing of how long you should be brushing your teeth, and it stops automatically.
Awesome. And then when you get bored, you can stimulate your clitoris.
Yeah, I could. If I had one. Maybe
just,
if
just
I
saying.
Just... Yeah. You know, but no, it feels great, and it's weird, and I love it.
Do your teeth feel clean?
They do. Even though I have like six cavities, so I don't know.
Well, never mind.
Did you guys see the YouTube video of that kid that like taped a toothbrush to his automatic gun?
His automatic Glock? Yeah.
What?
He's like, so the gun's facing outwards and the kid has a toothbrush like taped to the gun. He starts like firing it and the toothbrush is just like...
Wow.
He's just like... brrr, and he freaks out and he's like... and does it again. But dude, that thing would fucking knock your teeth out if you put it in your mouth the wrong way.
Oh yeah, no joke.
Like, at first I was like, how did that kid, because it's a kid, and he's like 16.
Oh, it's a kid.
Yeah, and I was like, how the fuck did that kid get an automatic Glock?
Damn.
And then they pointed out that it was just an airsoft gun, like replica.
Oh,
like a full, you know, because they spit out those little BBs, those little plastic pellets real quick.
Oh.
So he just taped his toothbrush to his fucking Glock. Brr, brr, brr. Brushing your teeth with your automatic Glock.
So it was Ian's birthday this past week.
Sick.
Happy birthday.
So thanks, guys.
So tell us a little bit about that, man. What'd you do? I was there with you on Monday, I believe.
I went down to the shooting range with my parents.
Your parents?
Yeah. I usually do go with my parents.
That's tight.
Yeah. My dad used to say a family that drinks together stays together. And now I think it's a family that shoots together stays together. Because I don't know if it's the best idea to mix the two of those.
No.
Because weird shit might start happening, especially with the family dynamic. It just starts getting weird and then someone shoots somebody.
Might stab your brother in the back of the head.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. We've seen it left and right. But it was fun, man. The range that I go to down in Kent, I don't really want to... That place kind of fucking sucks.
What's it called?
They used to sell guns there, too, but you know the place sucks when they get their FFL license taken away? You know, it's like a bar losing their liquor license. Is that at some point, it's like, why are you even still there? But they have a shooting range, so you can go down there, and it's just close to my parents' house. So it's nice, but I think I'm going to have to start going down to, like, Tacoma Sports Club or...
There's one in Bellevue that looks pretty badass.
Yeah. I like the idea of going over there, but there's been, like, two people that have been killed there in the last couple
years. In the Bellevue one?
Yeah. Like, people, like, in the Bellevue one, like, turning their guns on other people in
Jesus.
The range.
Jesus!
Yeah.
You don't...
Right?
I'm sure they get taken the F out.
Well,
I
it's
would
the,
hope.
Yeah. You know, obviously... It's like starting a war in the worst possible place to start a war, because everybody else in there has loaded guns, too, so, yeah. I just haven't gone there for that specific reason, so, anyway.
That's wild, man.
So, yeah, I went down there and shot some guns, and then after that, we went to the new Chop Suey, which is really cool. It's been, the bar has been changed a little bit. They took, you remember the old, like, counter that you would be able to stand at. Have you been there yet?
No, I haven't been there yet.
What they did is they took that bar and pushed it about 2 feet out towards the stage, took the stools and the stuff out, and then put tables in, tables and chairs.
Yeah.
So it's kind of more of a lounge in there, and they put in some more arcade games.
Tight.
And pinball games, and they still have that photo booth in there.
Yeah.
And I haven't been there for an actual show, but we just went in there for Metal Monday, which they do on Mondays now. Mm-hmm. Joe is bartending, and he made me the best weed cake.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
A pretty dank cake. So what was the ingredients?
A couple grams of oil. Some Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies, some hash, what he thought was tincture, but turned out to be oil, a bunch of it, and then like the Cinnabon frosting that they use for actual Cinnabons that you can buy, you know.
Ooh.
And then my buddy Chris Cricket,
he got you some real nice alcohol.
Bought me a 24-year-old bottle of scotch.
Holy. That's top class,
That's
man.
The kind of stuff that, like, you got to make that last for a good 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Like, when you go out, you bust it out, it's got to be like a celebration.
It's a
celebration, bitches.
That's some sipping whiskey.
Right. And a bottle of XO, cognac.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are you a cigar guy? Do you like smoking cigars?
I don't like tobacco. I used to smoke cigarettes when I was younger, but it makes me feel sick. Like, I want to fucking throw up.
Yeah.
Remember that scene in The Sandlot where they're riding, like, around on the carousel and they're chewing on the red man? Chewing
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it makes me feel like. And they're just all over the place? No. I'm not a cigar guy. I do like really, like, smoky scotches, but no.
Back in the day when my dad first got caught smoking cigarettes when he was a kid, his dad forced him to smoke an entire carton of cigarettes because he's like, oh, you want to be an adult now, huh? And so he forced him to smoke an entire carton. He got really fucking sick for like a week.
Yeah.
And then, well, here's the thing.
He
got fucking addicted for life after that. Because his body like went into shock when he wouldn't smoke.
Yeah,
so.
Thanks, Grandpa. Like, here, slam all this heroin real quick. And then,
oh, you want to do heroin? Yeah. Slam all this fucking heroin.
That's
you want to have sex with chicks? Have sex with like 70 chicks. All right.
All right. Yeah, nobody's going to get mad, but that's a different ball game, dude.
All right, but we're
Ryan,
all still good.
Ryan, what'd you do this week, man?
Went to some shows.
Yeah?
It's cool.
You want you care to share a little bit of information on these? Weed Eater. Did you go to Weed Eater?
No, didn't go to Weed Eater. Went to
Max went to Weed Eater. I know that.
Yeah, I got him in.
He got a bunch of sweatshirts.
Right?
Because he works at the weed shop, so he bought the Weed Eater hoodies.
Oh.
He was like, "Yeah, this is my new work uniform." Like, oh, yeah, cool.
Nice, dude.
Tight, Max.
That's awesome.
Sounds good to me. Cool. All right. Well, fuck it. Kind of a slow week in metal this week, but the items that did happen are of great consequence. I guess is a good way to put it.
Yeah, dude. Some of our favorite bands are coming back to town, and one of them is the almighty Crowbar.
Hell yeah.
NOLA, Doom, Sludge, Heaviness. They're going to be doing their quote-unquote Summer of Doom tour starting at the end of May. Also, Battle Cross and Lord Dying are going to be joining them. It's going to be starting in Louisiana, of course, which just makes perfect sense. And they're going to be playing Portland on, June 8th. And then they're going to be playing Seattle on June 9th at the El Corazon Rock and Roll Venue.
Which just also recently reopened with the Funhouse.
Have you been
bar.
To the Funhouse yet?
I haven't yet. I wanted them to have some food so I could go eat.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Because the way I saw it, it was, if they don't have food, I can just go down the street to the liquor store and get a beer.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to those dudes. I do love them, but I'm not as close as I used to be, so.
I love beer, but I also love food.
I'm just saying that I know that I'm going to be there at some point, but I wonder what they're going to do there. Because I would love to go there during the day, like take people there from out of town and like hang out, you know, have it be a Seattle destination again and that kind of stuff. So we'll find out.
Even some greasy bar food would be fine.
Right.
I miss Mary's Kitchen, man.
Don't bring it up. The chicken, remember that? Oh, man. Ian wasn't here, but that night they brought in all the food. You were there, right?
I wasn't there for that night.
That was the last night
that
they had done that.
All right, it must have just been an episode where both you guys were gone.
All right.
I got it all.
Well, regurgitate some macaroni for me real quick.
All right, I'll dig in my ass something for you.
It's like from like 4 months ago. Thanks. All right, title of this article, Warbringer, banned from the House of Blues, Anaheim.
Uh-oh. So, oh, that's right in Disneyland.
Disney has banned Warbringer from playing with Meshuggah.
Yeah.
Of all bands, on April 13th at the House of Blues Anaheim.
What?
Right. The quote from John Keevil is, "The show will proceed, but we won't be on it. Our band name, image, lyrical content are somehow objectionable to proper Disney image and family values."
Wow.
"We are not told of specifically why. We will still appear the following day at the San Diego House of Blues, as Disney has nothing to do with that one. As the person who wrote all our lyrics, I'm not sure how anything I've written is worse than," and he lists off, A, "the goose-stepping Nazi hyenas from Scar's song in The Lion King."
Good point.
B, "the racist crows in Dumbo." Or C, "Bambi in general."
In parentheses, Mom!
Mom,
no!
Yeah, well, there's also a lot of, well, some subliminal sketchiness in all the Disney movies. We could go on forever about that. But
every Disney movie, even the cartoons before maybe 1975.
The blatant on the cover of The Little Mermaid.
Dude, Song of the South is so racist.
Like, even in terms of, Smith Family Robinson, like all of the natives and the pirates and the black people, what they do, it's fucking insane. So, Disney, you guys are stupid as fuck.
It's interesting that Disney can object to something that's not on Disney. Well, I guess it's Disney property since it's quote-unquote downtown Disney is where that location is. So, I don't know. It's odd because it's not actually in the park. So you would think that they wouldn't be able to control it, but Disney is a powerful son of a bitch.
Yeah, because there's
going to get fired after this week because we're speaking ill of Disney and they control all media.
Yeah, they're going to just hear this they're hearing it right now before we even put it on the internet.
Ah!
guys.
They're, and they're never going to let us into Disneyland.
Has now confiscated
again.
Metal
sucks. Ha ha.
You try and go into Disneyland, they're like, we heard you were talking shit.
And they bring you to this super secret underground lair. I've heard of that.
And then just beat the shit out of you.
You
turn
know.
You into one of the little kids, and it's a small world.
You know Disney's like the leader of the Illuminati, right?
It's a small world.
I mean, we could get real into it and talk about how Walt and Disney hated Jewish people.
We could, and we should. But on to the...
That's a whole different podcast, man.
Speaking of Southern California...
That's conspiracy theories.
A band by the name of Twitching Tongues is now on Metal Blade Records. Never thought I would say that.
Weird.
Kind of a hardcore band-ish. They feature Taylor Young, who did the who's in Nails, and what else? He's in a couple other bands, but he records and produces all of the Twitching Tongues records. Their brother sings for the band. His brother sings for the band, and yeah, they've been going on since like what 2009, 2008. Yeah, I mean, they've, 2009, they've gotten pretty big in the underground hardcore scene. To be honest, I'm not such a huge fan of them.
I haven't really figured it out yet.
But, I mean, I get it.
I don't get it.
But
yeah, that's, what is it?
I get why people like them, but I don't necessarily like them that much, but it'll be cool, you know?
Good for that. Well, they'll have some support. Good for them. We woke up on Sunday f***ing morning after Metal Shop, after we had been talking about... Who's going to be in Megadeth? Who's going to be in Megadeth? And then it's like they almost waited for Metal Shop to be over. And then they were like, all right, let's announce it now. So we found out that Chris Adler is going to be the new drummer. At least filling in. We'd all been talking about it for weeks and weeks, but they officially announced. Here's the official press release about Chris Adler, at least. Dave Mustaine, the creative driving force behind the original American metal and hard rock crossover giants Megadeth. And Chris Adler, drummer for the leaders of modern American heavy metal Lamb of God, will join original bassist David Ellefson in the creation of Megadeth's anticipated forthcoming album. Adler will be appearing as a guest on the album and contributing his thundering, hard-hitting, and technically precise style and skill, adding new blood and drive into the mix while staying true to Megadeth's roots.
You know, honestly, at this point, with the amount of people that join and quit Megadeth, I think they should just have temporary members. They might as well just call them temporary members.
Yeah.
Even if they are meant to be full-time permanent members, they should just call them temporary members because you know they're going to quit.
Well, you know Chris Adler's not going to leave Lamb of God.
No, yeah.
Well,
no.
Why would he?
Like, yeah, just go party with the Daves for a summer, you know?
And I don't even know if he's going to tour. They'll probably just get somebody else to do it.
Yeah. You know,
partying
I think
with
I'm...
the Daves.
I'm
sounds so uncomfortable.
Hey guys,
I'm really, really hoping.
Do you guys want to watch some sci-fi movies?
I'm hoping that Adler made some kind of deal with Dave Mustaine, saying, "Look, dude, all right, I'm into it, but the first sign of you saying something f***ing crazy, the first
dude,
weird thing that pops
you know what
out
happened
of your mouth,
the first
I'm
day,
here.
I'd be willing to bet that Dave Mustaine doesn't even hang out with his band outside of like,
well, you know,
when he has to practice with them.
They got tacos, and you know, Dave Mustaine was like, you know, tacos are made by aliens, and Chris Adler
illegal
was just like,
aliens.
What the f-?
He's probably just like, what the f? And he's like, yeah, it's true. It's like, how much are you
how
paying
much?
Me
yeah,
again?
Cool. Okay, see you in the studio.
And he's like, cool, taco time for Dave.
You wrote Hangar 18, right? Yeah. All right,
okay,
cool.
Hey, Dave, do you like tacos? Yeah, Dave, I'm into tacos.
Okay, so the follow-up to that story is also they announced their guitar player this week, who's going to be the guitar player from Angra, called, his name is Kiko Luriro. So he's going to be filling in. I don't know if he's going to be guesting or filling in, or, dude, I don't know.
The guy's a killer player, man.
He looks like a member of Megadeth.
Angra's been around for decades.
Dave Mustaine said, I first met Kiko around 8 years ago for a cover shoot for Burn magazine. I had no idea who he was other than the fact that he was tremendously talented and that the staff from Burn held him in high regard. Since then, I've come to see what a guitar virtuoso he is, and I'm deeply encouraged by his depth and talent. Very few Megadeth alumni have had the same feel and ability as Kiko. As Frank Sinatra says, the best is yet to come.
So they're saying that the best Megadeth record is yet to come.
Yes. He's calling it, dude.
We'll
he's like Babe
that.
Ruth, pointing for the fences.
It's going to be co-written
we'll
by...
We'll see about that.
well, the best Megadeth record, a thrash metal band, is going to be partially written by a power metal guitarist.
Could be.
Hey, dude, he's not going to write anything on this record, I guarantee it.
You think Dave's, yeah. Dave's just going to be
it's
like,
probably already
this.
Written. Yeah, I guarantee you it's already written. Especially with this guy who hasn't done anything with Megadeth, they're going to be like, you played this note wrong on the solo. I guarantee it. Find out. Did you see this picture of these two dudes? Dave Mustaine and Kiko?
Looks like they're posing there. For a magazine.
What is
for like
Dave
a...
Mustaine's deal, man?
Hey, man.
He looks like he's fucking high as shit. I can't even see his eyeballs.
But he's not.
They're like slits.
He just looks
got like
bummed out to be there.
He looks like Clint Eastwood.
He's old, bro.
Yeah.
He looks like Clint Eastwood.
He looks like a pumpkin,
like
a month after Halloween.
Dad.
He looks like he's trying to fire laser beams into your ball sack.
Maybe he is. So
it's not working.
At the beginning of the news, we mentioned that there's going to be some sweet metal tours coming through in the summer. And, well, in the end of summer, there's going to be one with a band called Chrisian.
Sick.
Who is from Brazil. These guys are really sick. They've been through the Seattle area for the last, I think it's been about a year or two since they last came. But it's going to be sweet. Seattle, Washington on September 10th. At Studio 7, alongside f***ing Origin,
nice.
Surreption, Aeon, and Alter Beast. And Ingested. Very gnarly.
That's a heavy tour. Anthrax is coming back, but they're playing with Volbeat, and they're opening up for Volbeat. So it's one of those like pluses in that, well, at least we can go home early.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to say this. Volbeat... is an interesting band, at least. I don't know if I really like them, but I think they're very catchy.
Okay, there's nobody else that sounds like them.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
And the guy was super, super nice.
He was super nice. And he talked to us about Social Distortion.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was cool.
Maybe because he knows...
He wasn't a tool bag.
Maybe he knows if he says or does anything even remotely ass people are going to rip him apart.
This is one.
Yeah. Rip that band a new one on a regular basis as is.
I think they're interesting, and I think that they have great taste in music. Because not only did they bring Anthrax on tour, but they also, over in Europe, brought Entombed as a tour support. So...
Well, they got the dude from Anthrax in their band now.
Entombed got to play fucking stadiums with Volbeat.
That's
sick.
Cool.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
So, I don't
know. Let's get Entombed at the Key Arena.
Yeah, let's do it.
So these guys are playing here at the WAMU Theater, Anthrax and Volbeat, on April 29th. Let's see what day of the week that is. It is a Wednesday. That'll be a good show.
Yeah.
I want to see Anthrax. As we were commenting... When was the last time Anthrax came here and played a full set that wasn't Mayhem Fest?
They played Metal Alliance, remember?
Oh, that's right. Okay, yep, you're right.
That was
2 years ago.
I think it was like 2012,
two
yeah.
Yeah, 2-3 years ago.
Overkill is going to be on Nuclear Blast. They just announced that deal. I think their last record deal was with E1, which, believe it or not, is the label for bands that don't want to be on a label. E1 is kind of more of a distribution kind of thing, as opposed to a record label. I mean, it is a record label, but the way that the cost and the money breakdown thing is a little bit different. So than a traditional label. But now they're on Nuclear Blast, and they're going to be coming through, actually, Seattle. And it's going to be them. Wait, let me see here. Are they coming? Oh, yeah. Showbox at the Market. And they're going to be playing on October 3rd.
F*** yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Does it say who they're playing with?
No.
That's going to be f***ing awesome. I'm already pumped for that. Yeah. Something to look forward to. That's already... Dude, what is that like?
They're going
to
be playing with Symphony X.
That's 6 months away.
Yeah, Symphony X and Overkill at Showbox at the Market.
Huh. Awesome. We should probably talk about that on Metal Shop tonight.
All right. Sounds good.
Ryan, you were talking to me about Brothers of the Sonic Cloth last week.
Oh, yeah, man, that band is
dude,
cool.
Tad.
So
heavy.
One of the more excellent and enthusiastic people in the Seattle music scene recently joined Brothers of the Sonic Cloth, and I'm speaking of Pam from Don Peyote. She's
oh, cool.
Epically, epically heavy, heavy person, and writes some killer riffs and... So I'm really excited to see her on stage with those guys. That's a big deal for her.
Yeah, that's a big deal for anyone, kind of.
We were talking about how we're setting up the all-local episode. We need to reach out to that band, because they have a brand new record out. I have the record. It's fucking sick. And you know Pam.
Yeah.
So let's hit them up. Let's get Brothers of the Sonic Clock.
At least just get her up and talk about her experience with them.
Yeah, I want to have Tad come up here.
Yeah,
how sick would that be?
They're playing three shows in the Northwest. The first one's going to be on April 18th at the Columbia City Theater, and then on the 21st at Chop Suey, the new Chop Suey we were just talking about, and then on the 22nd at Dante's in Portland.
Sick.
And then they go down the West Coast if you want to follow them around. So, Brothers of the Sonic Cloth.
So, if you like Transformers, and you like hardcore, and you were alive in the 90s, you definitely should be aware already of the band called Shockwave.
Hell yeah.
These guys are a Transformers-influenced and Transformers tribute, I'd say. Transformers tribute band. They're fucking sick, and they wear all masks.
Super heavy.
They wear these like bandanas on their masks, on their face, so you can't really see who they are.
It's kind of cheesy, but they're really good.
So in 1996, they started. They came out with a couple records, and for Record Store Day, they're going to be putting out the release of the complete Shockwave discography, The World Is Ours, by Organized Crime Records. Speaking of Record Store Day, you should definitely go to Silver Platters in Soto, and this isn't, I'm not getting paid by them. Used to
not
work
anymore.
By Silver Platters, yes, but not very much. I didn't get paid much. But so I used
they wouldn't
to,
have gave you any bonuses anyway.
Exactly. Bonus schmonus in the
Bastards.
Record Store. But definitely check out
Radio
Record
too.
Store Day there, because they got fucking two sweet Seattle bands playing live in the store. They got Theories and they got Sanctuary doing full live sets in the store.
When is it?
And those people who work there are old dudes. I want to see how they react to Theories and Sanctuary.
Oh, they'll get it. They know. They
think
know.
So?
When is Record Store Day? Do you guys remember?
It's
off the
18th,
top of
bro.
The 18th?
Yep.
And that is...
That's the same day as the all-local
Saturday.
Episode. Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Oh, it's all coming together.
Maybe we can try and get Sanctuary up in this bitch.
Metal Sucks posted a article this week that decided, according to Spotify at least, that metal fans are the most loyal listeners of any genre.
Duh.
So what... Right. So what Spotify did is they published this on their Insights blog. They calculated by first determining certain core artists in each genre. So I'm sure for metal, it was like Slayer, Metallica. Mm-hmm. Country bands is probably like, you know, Reba McEntire and, you know, Keith Urban and rock. It's like AC/DC. And what they did is they determined the core artists in each genre and then divided the number of streams each core artist had by their number of listeners. So what in essence the study is asking is, which genre do listeners go back to their favorite artists the most? And metal was first place, followed far behind by pop, folk, country, rock, hip hop, reggae, jazz, respectively. So people kept going back to their favorite metal bands over and over and
metal
over again.
Metal went off the chart.
Yeah. So it was metal.
I'm looking at
metal
this thing and it's like. It's maxed out.
They're the most loyal of all music fans,
that's
according
dope.
To Spotify. And how long has Spotify been around now?
At least 3 years. I remember when Spotify came around, I was
on a mainstream. Yeah, for sure. Probably a little longer than that, but...
Yeah.
So there you go. Metal fans are the most loyal. It's scientific, motherfucker.
Kind of going along with that Spotify thing, a little bit of the music industry. The mainstream music industry was abuzz this week with a new streaming service known as Tidal. And it's owned by a bunch of f***ing millionaires like J. Cole, Jay-Z, Kanye West, Deadmau5, Madonna, f***ing Nicki Minaj, Rihanna, and Usher. They're all part owners of this thing called Tidal, which is this new high-fidelity sound app that... You know, so, okay, Spotify is you can either download it for free and they play a bunch of ads in between songs. You never know when the ads are going to come on. Or, like I do, I pay $10 a month, just shows up on my bill, and I get, I can make playlists, I can listen to it ad-free. It's pretty dope. But it's 10 bucks, and so many fucking people subscribe to it. But Tidal is now doing this thing where they think that artists should get more compensation. Of course they do. And
shocking.
It's quote-unquote higher quality music.
Of course
so
it is.
So it is exactly...
How can it get any higher quality then? what your ear can hear.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways.
So you can put it on your Beats headphones.
So it's going to be $240 a year or $20 a month. So $20 versus $10, we'll see. You know, a lot of people just stream off YouTube, which is totally free.
So I can listen to Deadmau5 all day.
Yeah. So
are they going to have everything?
I don't know.
Or is it just going to be those 15 pop artists?
No, I'm sure they'll have everything. All those artists are on major labels, so I'm sure they'll have the catalogs from all those labels that they're affiliated with. I have no idea how underground it will get, as there isn't really an underground artist. All right.
It's like, who's do I need to
on
suck
that stage?
So I can get some prostitute disfigurement up in this bitch?
Yeah, it'd be hard to see Jay-Z being like, I need all the anal songs on my streaming device.
I would legitimately pay money.
Legitimately.
throat chop.
Yeah. It's a word.
I would seriously pay money to just listen to Deadmau5 just sit in his basement and cuss over new mixes. Just get furious and frustrated over whatever the hell he's nerding out on.
I would accept money to watch that. To watch you watch that. You can pay me to watch you watch that.
So anyone going to subscribe to it?
No.
No.
All right.
Not at all.
I don't even subscribe to Pandora or Spotify as it is now. So, here, Madonna, take half my fucking paycheck.
I can't rightfully fund anything that Madonna does.
You make a $40 paycheck? Bummer.
You know what sucks when you find out that you lose your job on the internet via social media or
what
whatever
happened there?
The case? So, Skeleton Witch vocalist Chance Garnett found out that he found out.
I didn't even see this.
About it. On the internet that he was kind of canned, fired this week. At least he has a fill-in temporarily because of a, quote, drinking problem.
This is like Dave Mustaine in Metallica, but with the internet involved.
Right, and Skeleton Witch is a good band, so it kind of sucks to see. So Chance said in an old interview, in a statement, he said that I regularly became a drunk asshole off stage and was fired. So he took credit and responsibility to the fact that he f***ed up, but he found out in a less than cool way. Quote, I was left behind, unsure about anything, with no communication. It was my girlfriend who told me they were firing me from the band. 2 days later, when I could get someone to take my call, I asked, is this it? Am I fired? I was told, right now, you're not the singer in Skeleton Witch, and that the band would be finishing the tour instrumentally. That sucks. If I had been given the opportunity beforehand to change what was wrong or been told, dude, you're too much, we can't take shape up or hit the bricks, then of course I would have. I mean, I've poured everything into this band for 11 years. Damn. It's been the first thing I think of when I wake up and the last thing I think of before I go to bed for that long.
Wow.
So in the middle of the current tour they were on. Don't ask me how that happened.
It's always so much fun to watch on stage.
Yeah, that band rules.
His banter is hilarious.
Yeah, man. It's
and yeah,
that's really a shame.
It does suck if the band isn't like, hey, man, you need to calm down. Because that's the first step.
Yeah.
I remember an analogy that our old radio teacher used to tell us. And it's that, okay, if you've got a neighbor whose dog is barking all the time and you got a problem with it, it's your job to go over and knock on your neighbor's door and say something and be like, hey, I got a problem with this. Let's fix it. Instead of just calling the cops and having them come over or fucking poisoning the neighbor's dog. Like, it's your job, if you have a problem, to go fucking make it known, make that shit known, and then at least you can say when shit's gotta go down, hey, I told you, I talked to you, I asked you about it, now I'm gonna fuck you up or whatever the problem is.
Now you're gonna
fire
die,
you, or whatever. But dude, you can't just be like, bye, like chicken, you know? That kind of sucks. I'd be interested to see what else comes out from the story. Obviously, we're only hearing one side of it, so we'll find out.
My question is, I mean, those guys don't come across as kind of chicken dudes, so I'm wondering if he didn't do something really heinous.
He might have.
Like something really,
and he might
really
just not remember.
Yeah. I know what he did.
Kevin, because Kevin was in on it.
Kevin's got the...
I can't tell you guys, but I know what he did.
Where's the body?
It's somewhere... that I cannot mention on this podcast, but I'll tell you guys. Hold on a second. That's where it is, dude.
Oh, damn. Bummer.
Isn't that f***ed up?
Let's go find it.
No good.
Like it'll be like the movie Stand By Me.
Anyways.
Yeah. Walk down the train tracks.
So on to the next subject that we can actually talk about.
Darkest Hour is doing a 20th anniversary tour.
Yeah, it's going to be a small tour, though, unfortunately. Doesn't look like there's many dates.
No, it's
mostly
gonna be
East Coast.
East Coast, and they're doing Undoing Ruin in its entirety.
Yeah, and they're going to be doing a reunion of Dead to Fall. Dead to Fall is going to be playing that one. So if you're a metalcore guy, bring back, you know, it's the whole thing is like everything old is new again, like the like retro. People love metalcore again because all the kids that like kind of grew up on metalcore, now everyone's getting into like deathcore and djent. So people are like, remember this throwback metalcore? Yeah.
Remember when we used to hardcore dance in the pit?
Yeah, dude. So Darkest Hour, sweet band. And I remember Undoing Ruin when that came out. We used to play that all the time on Dead Air. Our old hardcore show on KGRG.
Absolutely.
So, Killswitch Engage coming out with a new live DVD. Gonna be pretty sweet, it looks like.
The video and audio from it are flawless. I've never seen any DVD that looks better than this.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the dude from Ian from Blood for Blood who did this one.
Oh!
Guy that we interviewed,
dude,
he did the Meshuggah DVD.
Let me just jump halfway into this.
Sounds
and
good.
And give you some of the audio here.
Cool.
The video is awesome. That's Adam B. And it's Halloween, so they're all in costumes. So yeah, that's a song off their new record, but
that's awesome.
If you like the old stuff, you'll hear it in just the same quality.
It's rad seeing him in Halloween costumes. Adam D is a pizza.
He's just a slice of pizza, yeah.
Jesse is like a ghoul, kind of like a Misfits guy.
I want a pizza costume.
And then
wearing a pizza hat.
Rad.
Cool.
I just want pizza.
So yeah, there you go.
Inside.
But there's proof that they can actually do the singing part well.
Take note, Fear Factory.
Right?
Ooh,
shots fired!
Damn, dude.
We need to create like a whiteboard over here on the wall of bands we've
all
talked
the band
about
just
on
buried.
The podcast. It'll be like the dude from Billy Madison, except in reverse. Like, we need to worry about them putting on lipstick and shooting us.
The burial list.
Yeah.
Bands we need to watch out for when they come through town.
Yeah.
Bands to not conduct interviews with.
Oof.
The bands to not tweet.
Great episode of Metal Shop tonight, man. Very fun times. Lots of good interaction with the listeners.
Way to toot your own horn, bro.
Hey, I'm just saying, it's not very often we get to, at least these days, just host a show with just us.
It's true.
It's kind of nice, kind of stress-free.
Absolutely.
So that said, it's let's continue that stress-free vibe and enter the Metal Shop Brutal Poetry, Too Hot for Radio Lounge.
And, yeah, this one's nasty.
We'll sip on some sophisticated adult beverages and read some f***ed up sh**.
Yeah, I got some cognac here.
What are we doing tonight, fellas?
We got a band by the name of Eater. Yes, Eater with and Love. Ryan the Beard, take it away, you sick motherfucker.
Sweet tribute to the 60s. Free love, free porn was all around. F***ing hippie shit used as an excuse for sexual indulgences. Huge Woodstock porn fest, screwing in the sun.
In the sun.
The answer, my friend, is giving me a b- while I break like the wind. Backstage orgies took place. There was no such thing as shame. Jimmy going down on Janice.
Janice, no!
While the mamas and the papas were watching. Joe getting her hard on. Seeing Simon and Garfunkel the birds straight in the ass. Back then it was only and love. And love.
Wow. Joe Cocker, The Byrds, Simon and Garfunkel, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, all getting some shout-outs.
My dad would be like, that's not what it was like.
The most disturbing
I don't know what you're talking about.
Of ways. You're a disgrace. You're disrespectful. I love it.
Happy Easter.
I want some Cadbury eggs.
We're going to end it with a band by the name of Agnostic Front. These dudes are one of the most classic hardcore bands. They're coming out with a new record very soon, and they have an in-studio update for you, and it's kind of cool. So,
it's the last in the series. Their wrap-up.
Just a little tidbit from one of New York's finest, Agnostic Front!
The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
New record we're doing is called The American Dream Died.
First of all, the title's great. It's appropriate for just the times we're in right now.
It's a full circle. It captures the history of their sound over 30-something years, and I think it's the best elements, and they're going to make an amazing record. That's going to be that Victim of Pain is known as a classic record because at the time it came out and the controversy, and it was an album instead of a 7-inch, and it's just a classic New York hardcore record. And I think that the record they're making now is going to be, this is 30 years later, 2014, they're making another record that I think is going to be just as powerful or just as classic.
So basically, I'm the producer for this record, and which is an honor for me. It's my third record. As a producer with Agnostic Front.
First of all, we write records that we love for ourselves. It goes broader than the hardcore scene. It's a reflection of where we are today in society. All your hopes and everything you wanted is just falling apart right before your eyes. You know, the American dream is dying.
And then lyrically, you know, it's social commentary, which really AF always addressed, you know, from their first record. Social injustice and this and that, and you know, all this, you know, so it's really, you know, but it's current. It's about what's happening now, today, you know.
You listen to the songs, it makes you want to jump off the wall and punch everyone. And
an excellent representation of the band and what the band has become and what the band once was. It just kind of wraps everything together nicely.
I think all of us as a band here is really excited, especially for this record. You never really know exactly what you're going to get out of it. You know, every record has progressed. It really seems to be capturing the genuine feeling of just like everything they've done throughout the course of their whole career.
Just give like a good recording of what music was like for us growing up, and you know, try to play the music that we loved when we were younger, when we started, you know, when we started playing in hardcore.
There was a lot of pre-production work done. And, you know, like I said before, with every record, there's always a lot of that. You know, there's always shooting ideas back and forth, shooting, you know, music ideas, lyric ideas, all that. You know, with this record, I mean, I sort of knew immediately that they were heading in the right direction. Started to hear these songs develop and knew right away that they had something good, you know. They were working with something really solid.
The truth of the matter is, do you want to be a part of something genuine, something real? Do you want to be a part of something that's fake? And our stuff always comes up genuine and real because we are genuine and real.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.